Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service is talking about the Wall Street Journal piece titled U.S. Struggles to Draw Young, Savvy Staff. I had Ron Sanders and John Salamone on the Federal News Countdown on Friday, and this was one of the choices from the show. And it doesn't paint a particularly positive picture, Tim, of how agencies are doing at bringing millennials into government. But there are some bright spots, aren't there?
There are some bright, yes, there are some bright spots. Again, I think the article itself doesn't paint a very rosy picture, but there are some bright spots, and I think there's some great opportunity as well. So some of that opportunity is to learn from what others are doing. Some of that opportunity is just to capitalize on some of the great stuff that you already have at your disposal within your own agency as well.
And that's the question, is that people complain, and rightfully so, about the process overall. And I'm not sure everybody is either leveraging or even aware of the tools they already have at their disposal.
I think that's absolutely right. So again, you know, one of the great ways to bring millennials in and to attract them in the first place is through the Pathways program. So there I've said the secret word already.
That's right. You didn't waste any time.
And in particular, looking at internship programs. So a great way to expose students to the work of your agency, and the mission of your agency early. And then, you know, as they kind of continue through that internship program, even if it's only over a couple of summers, that hopefully they're going to be successful. You're going to see them not only, prosper and grow, but they're going to actually see that's going to be a place that they want to work when they graduate as well. Then you've got the ability to convert them if, in fact, you've got full-time opportunities that come available as well. So that conversion component of that, you know, is really key, not just to having them experience government, but to actually develop, to have at your disposal a way that you can easily bring them in.
There are a number of statistics and lots of data in this Wall Street Journal piece, and there's a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. I guess what I wondered after I read this piece, even with my understanding of what's going on inside the agencies, is what do some of those numbers and data points mean? For example, there's a chart here titled Smaller Slice, and it says that in 1973, 19.1% of the full-time permanent federal civilian workforce was younger than 30 years old. In 2013, the number is 7%. But I don't know that those pieces of data necessarily mean a whole lot, because the federal government and what the people who work for it do is dramatically different than it was in 1973. I imagine in 73 we had a whole lot more five, sevens, even GS3s than we have today, and it would make sense that those folks were in the under 30 age group, where I'm not sure it makes sense that the 11 to 15 heavy workforce that we have now is in the 30 and under range.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, Francis, I think you raise an interesting point, which is, clearly you need the right talent to do the job. And that may mean that you actually need more experienced talent. And that may be, you know, if you're a highly scientific organization, you're probably not going to hire somebody with an undergraduate degree, or the rate at which you're hiring somebody with an undergraduate degree is much lower. So if you're looking for PhD talent, frankly, you're pushing the limits of the 30-year-olds right there in and of itself. But I think, you know, so I think that's a good question to ask, which is, you know, what is the right balance? And I think, you know, that's a question that even my colleagues here ask when we talk about we need to focus on getting more millennials or 30 and the 30 and under crowd into government. You know, is the question about, well, despite the fact that there's 23% of the U.S. workforce, what's the right number for government? Is it 23%? It may not be, but I think the ultimate piece here is, if you don't have a significant representation of that demographic group, you actually are going to lose some things just in the approach and the way of thinking that your employees are giving to an agency. So, you know, what's the right number? Is it 19%? Is it 9%? Is it a mirror image of the total U.S. workforce? I don't know, but I can tell you there's a pit in my stomach when I look at that and I say that only 7% of the federal workforce is millennials or those under 30. That actually creates a little bit of a pit in my stomach, because I know that that's not right.
And that, I think, I'm glad to hear you say that this is a strategic issue and not a numerical issue. That sounds like that's what you're saying to me, Tim.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm glad to hear that because that's the piece of workforce reform or workforce reimagination that everybody agrees on, no matter whether they're in Congress, whether they're in the agencies, whether they're in OPM. Everybody that I talk to, GAO, they all agree being more conceptual, being more deliberate, and being more strategic about what you want your workforce to look like in 2015 and 2020 and 2025 is the solution to this, not dwelling on how many of this group do we have and how many of this group do we have and how many of this group do we have. Agencies are pretty good at that, except for, as you say, you're not comfortable with the 7% number. That seems wrong to you. But other than that, agencies work pretty hard to make sure that they're meeting goals for various kinds of diversity and workforce makeup.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think it's, you know, you've got to sit back and say, what's right for my agency? But again, if I look at this government-wide and I see that almost 34% of the government-wide workforce is at a GS-1 to a GS-10, yet there are only 7% of those under 30 in government. Again, that to me is a better point of comparison, which is somewhere in there we're actually not bringing them in when we actually have an opportunity to bring them in at the entry levels.
And your colleague Max Steyer speaks in this piece about what happens to those folks when they come in, and this is something you and I have talked before about, Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service, the onboarding process and how those folks are engaged from the very first day that they're actually hired. You know, we could talk ad nauseum about the issues with the hiring process, but I'm not sure we spend enough time talking about onboarding and making sure that the first 6 months to a year that somebody's in the government, they are made aware of all of the opportunities and possibilities that they have. I mentioned Ron Sanders and John Salomon were on the countdown. John brought some numbers that indicated that an extremely high percentage of younger folks leave the government within the first 2 years of joining for a variety of reasons. And the sense that he got, I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but the sense that he got from the research that he did is nobody really seems to know why.
Yeah, and I think the really interesting thing, and I think you know, John and Ron were exactly right on that issue, which is, you know, it's not just about getting them in, and clearly Max was right on that as well, that it's not enough simply to get them in if you're not actually delivering on the promise or whatever that drew them there to begin with. I want to spend 1 second on that as well, Francis, which is, I think this is one of those tools that everybody has at their disposal, and we've talked about this a lot as well, that agencies really need to focus on is, we have to understand, we have to realize that one of the biggest drivers of what young people are actually looking for in a career is an opportunity to make a difference, a mission. They're mission-driven. And each and every agency has that. We've got to be able to articulate that in a way that actually resonates with them. And if we can't do that, our ability, regardless of how hard we're trying to bring them in, if we're actually not able to hit on that, our likelihood of capturing that demographic is going to be slim to none. So we've all got that at our disposal. None of us have to work real hard to at least understand what our mission is. We may have to work a little bit harder to articulate it in a way that young people will understand. So once they get in, I think, yes, we have to deliver on what we've promised. And I think we often don't look at that. And again, a great data point or a great set of data for agencies to look at is the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. And in there, there's actually a question about, do they intend to stay at their agency? Or do they something to that effect? And if we look at that by demographic area, those under 30 tend to say that their likelihood to leave is higher than others. When you can correlate that to other things, then, like, you know, they're getting the professional development that they envision, everything else, you don't necessarily have to ask the questions because some of those are already built into the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. But you ought to be asking folks. You know, oftentimes what we do, and this is just isn't in government, and this is one of those best practices too that doesn't just apply to young people, but oftentimes we don't actually sit down and ask our employees what's working, what's not working until they're ready to walk out the door. And then we say, what could we have done differently? And we get this long list of everything that we could have done differently. Instead, one of the things that we've seen some agencies really successfully use is what they've called stay interviews. And it's been the conversation about how are things going? What's going to make you stay? What's working really right? So that you're hearing what's working really right, but you're also hearing real time the things that maybe they're a little bit disillusioned with. And maybe you can't address them all, but hopefully what you can do is capitalize on the things that are going well at that point.
Well, and you touched on something a moment ago, Tim, that the private sector doesn't have and that very few NGOs have. And that is a very distinct and clear mission. How could the agencies do a better job of selling the mission? And I mean selling in a very positive, uplifting way of sharing enthusiasm about the work, not trying to get somebody to do something they don't want to do, which is the negative perception of the word selling. How can the agencies do a better job of selling the mission to the kind of people to whom that enthusiasm about fulfilling a mission would appeal?
So I think first and foremost, tell the story. Don't talk about the mission from the standpoint of what your mission statement on your agency website says, but rather tell stories of what people are really doing to fulfill that mission. That actually makes the mission come alive for folks. So, and oftentimes what that means is that hiring managers, you have to get up from your office. You actually have to have those conversations directly with job seekers. You and your staff have to be intimately involved in the recruitment process. You can't see it simply as an HR function. You've got to help talk about what the work, the day in and day out, actually does. You know, there's a pretty standard question that most job applicants ask somewhere in the process. What's the typical day look like? Think about that right now in terms of key jobs that you're trying to fill right now and how you're going to answer that question. And that gets you to the mission. That's not simply about the work. From a very tactical perspective, but it's that work tied to the mission. That's actually what's going to sell. The other piece is, again, I'm going to go back to internships. Use it as an opportunity to bring people in, expose them to the work of your agency and the mission of your agency, and then use that as a way to convert to full-time employees. You're going to get a good sense. They're going to get a great sense of really the mission of the organization. And after that period of time, whether it's just a summer internship or it's a year-long internship or what have you, they're going to get a good sense of what that agency is all about. And you're going to get a good sense, a great sense, of whether or not they're the right fit for your agency.